everyone. Thanks for tuning in for our third episode of Vampire Diaries Radio. We're your hosts, Ashley
and Natalie.
Today we're going to talk to you about Season 1, Episode 3, Friday Night Fights. Don't forget to give us feedback at vampirediariesradio@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Today will be different. I will no longer be the girl who lost her parents. I will be someone new. It's the only way I'll make it through.
I predict this year is going to be kick-ass. And I predict all the sad and dark times are over and you are going to be beyond happy.
I can sense.
Everything I've kept buried inside came rushing to the surface. I'm simply not able to resist her.
I could look, style, and my charm.
Here we go into episode 3. Oh, I recently got Love You to Death by Chrissy Calhoun. It's an unofficial companion to the Vampire Diaries, and it's really good. So, and I apologize, we're at my house, and my dog's kind of crazy, so if you hear him, I apologize. And we have very high ceilings in my house, so if we echo, sorry about that. And yeah, so here we go. So, we start off with Caroline, and she has a very large, sizable neck wound. And she's in bed with Damon. So, sorry for if you're listening to this with kids. Sorry. And
although you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
For kids.
But, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Is this, like, one of the cleaner vampire shows we had? Because, you know.
I don't think so.
Well, no, but True Blood is way less clean than this one. And then Buffy, I don't know. I can't tell if is this show a little more risque. I guess so.
I don't know.
I was thinking about this today. I was like, we'll have a podcast about rating it or something. So that'd be kind of fun.
Give us your thoughts when you email us.
Yeah, so. Yep. Anyways, so, Caroline is laying there and she's trying to sneak out of bed without waking Damon up because apparently she remembers. Damon hasn't compelled her yet, so apparently she remembers that Damon had attacked her. And then, okay, she has a negligee. What 17-year-old has a negligee? I thought that was very interesting, but okay. And she's freaking out and trying to slide Damon away, and, you know, she has wood floors, so of course they creak, but poor thing. And then he wakes up and interrupts her escaping, and she hits him with a lamp, which is actually really funny. And, you know, they have a fight, and then he says this could have totally gone a different way, and she tries to do everything. She throws a pillow at him, and you should see the amount of blood that's on this pillow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I didn't think Damon had bit her so much. And then he lunges for her, and we cut to the theme, and, you know, it's the little script with a couple seconds of music. And then we go to school. Did you have anything more on that scene?
No, I'm just surprised that she could even walk around considering how much blood she had lost.
I mean,
he feeds on her the night before, and then that day in the morning, he feeds on her again, I think.
Yeah, because she misses school, so. And that's very interesting. I thought that was... All right, and then so now we're with Bonnie and Elena at school, and they're talking about Elena's new relationship with Stefan, which is official now, and Bonnie's worried for her friend. She thinks she's moving too fast.
Yeah.
And
she's also concerned about the bad vibe she got off of.
Because she touched him when she was giving Stefan Elena's cell phone number, because apparently Mystic Falls, you can just give cell phone randoms to random strangers and nobody cares.
And addresses.
And addresses, because everyone knows where everyone lives. And, you know, Bonnie's trying to convince Elena to play the field a little bit, and Elena basically says, that's not me. So, well, okay, which is true. And then Bonnie's very nervous, and Elena attributes being healthy and happy due to her being with Stefan, which, okay, at this point, Elena's very Bella, I thought. You know, Elena's not fleshed out yet. But that's okay. And then we cut to Vicky and Jeremy, and Jeremy, we realize, is really pissed off, you know. Vicky's been kind of stringing him around, and he's mad, which, you know, good for him. He should be mad. And then You know, she got tickets for the Posers, which apparently is a band that is really popular. I've never even heard of them, so great. Apparently they're really that popular.
Yeah. And of course, Jeremy, because in the previous episode, he saw Vicky and Tyler making out, so he's obviously not very happy to see her at this point.
And basically, Jeremy asks Vicky, was there another reason for screwing me? And then was it for the drugs? And, you know, Vicky's kind of caught off guard, and
yeah,
Jeremy storms away, so geez. And then we go back to Bonnie and Elena, and Elena's saying, I love you for your concern, but don't worry about me. And then Stefan comes up and interrupts our conversation, and Bonnie makes an excuse and hurries away. And Natalie was laughing because basically, okay, Stefan has one appeal, you know, one little moment with Bonnie, and then he makes the conclusion.
Yeah, so basically, at the Mystic Grill, I thought this was the day before, but I guess maybe it's been
a week. I think it's been a week, because, like, you know, they're getting, you know, until we get to the season 2 and season 3, it's not every day that we see them. I think time passes in the first season, like,
although
each week.
Although it's not like Buffy, it's not like every season is a year. It's
right.
It's much shorter amount of time.
Because this timeline is confusing in this show, because, like, they're still in junior year and second season, and then finally we get to third season and
because we never see
senior year and third season, right? So season 3 is going to be interesting on a whole nother level. So maybe they're graduating and they won't be in high school.
Yeah,
but maybe it's because that every teen show that starts in high school does really well in high school, and then once they go to college, everything gets either canceled or sucks. So
I thought that was interesting because you were saying that Buffy, the ratings went down after they graduated.
And Veronica, ratings went down when she went to college. And, well, Angel never was in college or high school. But, you know, everyone says the high school is the prime year. Like, even Gilmore Girls, you know, Rory had her first 3 years in class. And then, so.
But anyway, the point I was trying to make is that so at the Mystic Grill, Bonnie gave Stefan, Elena's phone number, and that really indicated to me that, you know, she was okay with him. And how could he possibly know then, now that she doesn't like him? I don't know. I just thought it was a bit strange.
I just went with it, but yeah. All right. As you can see, we nitpick, so we're nitpicky.
Yeah.
And then Matt and Tyler are talking, and they're throwing around a football.
No, but before that. Elena says
to Stefan.
Go on.
Okay, so Bonnie's explaining to Stefan, you know, she doesn't really know you, but we're going to change that kind of thing. And then Matt and Tyler are walking, Matt and Tyler are playing football, and they're watching Elena and Stefan, you know, be all lovey-dovey. And Tyler has this great line of, what are they doing? Walking, yep, right into the sunset. Mm-hmm. And it's cute. And then basically we look like a little yard troll, which Matt says no. Which, okay, I don't know why I found that so funny, but I just thought that was really cute.
Just the word gnome is
but,
funny.
Yeah, I guess. And then, yeah, so Elena Tyler throws a football at Stefan and tries to knock him down, and Stefan uses his vamp powers to catch it, and Elena is very impressed by this.
She's impressed by everything he does.
Elena's very swoony in this. Yeah, this is not my favorite episode. Next episode's great. I love next episode. So, and then, she tells him maybe you should try out for the team, you know, try to really get accumulated into high school life or whatever.
No, assimilated.
Assimilated, that's the word.
Yeah.
Accumulated.
This is very authentic.
Yes. And, you know, and he's laughing at her, says the girl who spends her time writing in a graveyard. And Elena's like, I'm trying not to be gloomy graveyard girl anymore, which is, you know, all right.
Sort of a joke on the usual gothic romance.
Right. And then you see Bonnie doodling, and then we cut to history class because that's the only class they ever go to or have, even in later seasons with Alaric. History class is the only class they have, which ironic, but okay.
And Bonnie's doodlings are very significant.
Because 8, 14, 22.
Yes, those numbers are very important to the rest of the episode.
Also, according to my nice little book, apparently Chrissy Calhoun saw that she was doodling a witch broom and a crystal ball, so.
Well, neither of us saw this in the episode, but I guess it's true.
I kind of saw the crystal ball when I was looking for it. I've seen this episode like 3 times, so I'm like, ugh. Anyways, and then Steph and Elena are flirting. She's trying to tell him the football team sucks, which apparently it does, and, you know. And then Mr. Tanner interrupts their little flirting with, oh, Pearl Harbor date. And I was laughing because I was like, who doesn't know Pearl Harbor? But Natalie was sad because...
I'm very bad with dates, so I didn't know the date of Kennedy's assassination. I knew it was in the 60s, but that was about it.
Oh, well, my mom was born Kennedy assassination year, and my grandfather
was very good with dates.
Well, my grandfather was a bunch of veterans of Navy, so okay. But December 7th, 1941 is Pearl Harbor, if any of you didn't know that, but I'm sure many of you do. And
excuse me. Am I lacking in some way?
Oh, no, not at all. And then, okay, this is what I wanted to know, too. Okay, last episode we were talking about the history of Mystic Falls, or in the pilot, I'm sorry. We're talking about the history of Mystic Falls. And how did we get to Pearl Harbor? Hello?
What? I know, that was really fun.
Yeah, okay, you're crossing over 150 years. Ah, that Civil War, who cares?
Well, that also may be an indication that time is going by faster than we think.
Maybe. And then, you know, Stefan, you know, proves that, you know, he's smart. But, you know, we realize why he's smart, because he lived through all of it.
And he does lots of crossword puzzles.
Yes, and Tanner is quizzing him and talking about Brown versus Board, which I was like, hey, I studied all these in law. And, you know, all these significant dates, and Stefan and Mr. Tanner demands what the year of Korean War was and, like, tries to prove him wrong. But, again, who gets huffy with a teenager? My goodness. And then, so, they're talking about the Korean War and what dates it is, which it apparently is 1950 to 1953. And then Tanner says, ha, it ended in 1952. But, okay. And then, so this guy brings out his cell phone because Tanner wants to know the right date. And instead of looking in the book that is on his desk, he's looking at his cell phone and says, oh, 1953, with, I'm sure, use of a Wikipedia. But still, look at the book.
This also shows that there's lots of repetition in the earlier episodes of this season, because in the first two episodes, it began with Damon attacking these two different couples, and then in a previous episode, you saw Mr. Tanner get it wrong. He was talking about the deaths of civilians in the Civil War, and this time again, he was wrong.
So Tanner's not apparently a very good history teacher, and Mystic Falls doesn't have any cell phone rules in high school, so great. And then we go to Tanner, and apparently, again, Natalie pointed out this, Tanner apparently is the only teacher in all of Mystic Falls High.
Yes, he's the coach of the football team, too.
He is apparently the only teacher that we know
of. He does
everything. He does, just like Alaric does everything, too. And Stefan's watching pensively football and is like trying to figure out if he should join or not. And then Bonnie is excited because Elena is coming back to cheerleading. And as Elena says, she's going to do things that were, which is sweet. And then Elena basically tells Bonnie she's coming over for dinner tonight. And she's like, I am? And then to bond with Stefan, kind of thing.
So awkward, just inviting your friend to go on a little date with you.
You're trying to get to know the boyfriend, you know, if they want them all to hang out. It's sweet.
Yeah.
I've done it. It's not that awkward. You don't let it be awkward.
No.
And Stefan's trying to plead with Tanner to get on the football team, and, okay, this is what I wanted to know. Why didn't he just compel him? You know?
He could have, but I think he was, well, then again, later in the episode, you can tell that Stefan really isn't a fan of using compulsion. He says, oh, they're people. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, and this is the moral road. This is why Stefan in the first season is the moral compass, and later seasons that compass gets wrecked a few times, which isn't nice for me because I'm a Damon fan. So yeah. So and then he's like, oh, sure, I'll let you try out just to get you see knocked on your ass. Who says that to a high school student?
What teacher says that?
Yeah.
I'm just amazed that he's, you know, been a teacher this long at this
school. Yeah, he's awful. Anyways, and then
to everyone. He was with that with Tyler too. In this episode,
he's getting mad at Tyler because he's not. What are you good at, Mr. Lockwood? You're not good at history. It's not football. It's that's funny. But you know, okay. And then Matt is all upset that Stefan's going to join and says first my girlfriend, now my team. And then this is like foreshadowing because Matt really still holds a candle for Elena. So, yeah. And then Bonnie and Elena are waiting for Caroline and are kind of worried because Caroline never misses cheerleading camp practice. But okay, so this is what I want to understand. Caroline's jealous of Elena, but Caroline's captain of the cheerleading team? That's pretty big, you know. Elena doesn't have that.
I kind of wonder why Caroline is so jealous of Elena.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Caroline's head of the cap. That's pretty good, but all right.
I know. She's also, I think, head of the prom committee.
Right. She's head of everything. So why is Caroline so pissed off at Elena?
I think it's in her head. You know, she just sees Elena in a different way of being more perfect.
Well, maybe. And then so Bonnie is, like, really concerned and going to text her again, and then Damon shows up with Caroline.
In a convertible,
because apparently they have unlimited amount of cars in this, you know, in Mystic Falls, but okay. And then Caroline passes Elena and goes, I got the other brother, hope you don't mind. Mm-hmm. And then she's wearing these terrible short shorts. All of them are, you know, it's cheerleading practice, but my goodness, those Caroline shorts are really, really short. And then we realize Caroline is super serious about cheerleading and cheerleading camp. And, you know, Elena didn't go to summer camp of cheerleading because she was still in her depressive stage.
Yeah, grieving for the death of her parents.
Right. So I wouldn't want to go to cheerleading camp either. But Caroline's being snippy about it. So Caroline suggests to Elena strongly, why don't you just watch today? So Elena wanders away from cheerleading and they go to have a little montage and we see Stefan kicking ass at football. He's doing really well. You go, Stefan.
Elena watches on.
Yeah, and then Elena's being really girly girl and being gushy. And
I know.
this is where you're kind of, you know, as, like for me, when I first watched this, I was like, do I really want to keep watching this? Because it reminded me of Twilight, and I like Twilight, but, you know, I don't know. I was kind of not on the bandwagon. And then
I thought the books were much better than the movies for the Twilight series.
Oh, you know, I like books. But yeah,
okay.
But this show is way different than Twilight. So it's you know, for people, fans of Twilight, well, yay Twilight people.
I thought New Moon was a bit ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
How many times can a man take off his shirt?
But Elena, is not Bella. You know, Elena does not shut down without a guy, which is really nice actually.
Yeah.
You know, and Chrissy Calhoun, who's this little book that I've been, you know, helping me review episodes and stuff. She made a really good point about how this show isn't about, you know, the vampires and the witches. It is, but it's also about love and loss, which is actually really compelling, you know. Mm-hmm. And True Blood kind of, you know, talks about that too, but not I think as much as Dexter. I don't know if it's more simplistic this way. I don't know. It's, you know, that's a really good statement. I really like that. So,
yeah.
And so Elena is all excited because Stefan's doing really well, and Tyler and Matt plot to, you know, knock Stefan on his ass, and Stefan decides to give Tyler one just so, you know, you prove, you know, not to draw suspicion on himself.
Oh, yeah.
And then so Tyler tackles him, and Stefan ends up jamming his finger, but he's acting like he's really hurt, which is okay. Elena, you're Elena now?
I am now Elena.
Natalie made a good point of maybe he's just trying to show, like, you know, he's not invincible. But I was saying, your vampire brother just kicked your ass a couple episodes ago, and now you're all...
I just think it was a bit silly that his hand was shaking, considering he got blasted through a second-story window by Damon.
And didn't, like, flinch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 225
and
mortal.
And the finger just makes him, like...
You know, all worried and, like, you know, like, my goodness. So, that was way over-dramatized. So, sorry, Paul Wesley, for listening. Which you're probably not, but that's okay.
But he's good. He's usually pretty good as an actor.
Yeah, he is good. Ian Somerhalder is just so much better.
Oh,
so then we go home, and Stefan changes from cheerleading practice, from football practice, and Damon's reading his diary, and he has a great quip of, oh, you're very Emerson in the way you reveal your soul on so many adjectives, which I thought was cute. And we learned that, you know, Damon's not as learned. You know, he knows his stuff, which I thought was very interesting.
And Stefan has a lot of journals. So,
yes, he does. And then Stefan replies with, what are you doing here? Where is Damon going to go? Damon lives there.
It's his house, too.
It's the Salvatore Mansion. Like, Damon doesn't have an apartment somewhere. I just thought that was so funny. I'm like, okay, where is he going to go? And then they're talking about Damon's saying that he's soul-searching in Mystic Falls. And that maybe he can have a happy, normal life like Stefan's trying to have and assimilate into human culture, and I can be a non-living, living person too, which, you know, we thought that was funny. And then Damon just loses it and starts cracking up and says, no, that's not going to happen. And then, Damon starts to perv on Elena, and he gets creepy. You know, they really try to make Damon the brother, and we were talking about this earlier, the first couple episodes of this television show doesn't present a story arc, but that's what makes season 2 and season 3 of this show so great, is that it does have a story arc. The story arc gets introduced later, which is really, really good, and we're excited to talk about that, but now they're still trying to establish, which that happens in a lot of shows, yeah, except for like Veronica Mars.
It happened in Buffy.
Yeah.
I think that even in True Blood, the first season, which was very close to the books, but they really began to deviate in the second, third, and fourth season.
With major story arcs in about, you know, the Louisiana king and queen and all that, you know. Yeah, that stuff's good. You know, True Blood, I've been rewatching it for fun. I really forgot how much I really like True Blood. So.
It is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I digress. And so Damon's being pervy on Elena, and then, you know, relax, I didn't even go near her. Oh, and he explains what BTW means, which I thought was funny. It means, by the way, which, you know, because Stefan wouldn't know, you know, all the high school lingo. Well, I thought that was cute.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I thought that was cute.
He did have a grunge period, so maybe he really is in with the...
Maybe Stefan is just really, really cool, and we just didn't give him any credit. And then Damon says, oh, I gotta go, I have a date, and sweaty palms wish me luck, which I thought was great. And then do you have anything more on that scene?
No, but I did notice that Paul Wesley, he does some really good acting in this scene, because after Damon has this just...
delightful line.
And he basically just starts laughing about it, like, no, he's not going to forgive his brother. Paul Wesley, Stefan, he has this line, so like, it doesn't have to be this way, and he sounds like so kind of vulnerable, but still sort of guarded, I thought. It just shows that he wants to bury the hatchet, really. He wants to have his brother back, really.
Wow, look at your metaphors. Bury the hatchet. So. Yeah, it's okay. So anyway, so we go to Bonnie and Elena in the kitchen, but they're not cooking. Bonnie makes a great little line of Elena's trying to scoop the pasta into the, you know, they'll take out pasta into the nice fancy bowl. And
That's probably what I would do.
The fancy bowl is not fooling anyone, Elena, which I thought was cute. And then, you know, she's watching Nino, which I didn't catch. I had to look at my handy dandy little episode guide. And apparently Nino, she can't say 90210. Maybe they couldn't get licensing. But I just thought Nino was funny. And that how she's talking about this commercial she's seen, and Elena's playing it off, and Bonnie's really worried that she's a witch, and
yeah, she's talking about her how she's become clairvoyant.
And she's seeing 1814, 1822.
Actually, this kind of made me wonder, like, why is she just becoming clairvoyant now? I was thinking, like, maybe it's the comet.
Well, maybe, or powers do develop, you know.
Yeah, sometimes powers in books.
Look at Harry Potter.
They manifest.
He didn't get until.
No, but. Come on, he had his abilities for a long time. I mean, in the school.
Maybe she just didn't notice it.
Yeah, it's possible. I was thinking that. Or I thought it would also be interesting if it was
the comet.
The comet.
Maybe it could.
It was coming to pass, and maybe that was the reason.
I never thought about that. Yeah. Or maybe it's just because she started spending time with her grandmother more and is starting to realize, you know. And then Elena suggests maybe they should play the lottery with the numbers. And then Bonnie goes into this, I don't want to be a witch. Do you want to be a witch? And Elena goes, I don't want to be a witch. Which I thought, you know, they really, Bonnie, Katarina Graham and Nina Dobrev have really cute little chemistry. They're really good friends.
Oh, I didn't know that. In real life?
No, I'm just saying that on screen. They have good chemistry, you know. And then Bonnie knows where everything's in the kitchen, and it's kind of creepy. And when Elena goes out to answer the doorbell, you know, Bonnie tests herself and goes, birthday candles in a drawer. And she opens it, and it's birthday candles. And Bonnie's getting freaked.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed in this episode is that you see more people becoming convinced there is something supernatural going on. Like Bonnie, she begins to...
And Matt.
Although I think now he doesn't really think there is anything supernatural going on. I mean,
he just thinks his sister's crazy, which yeah. I agree with him.
Well, she is a bit crazy.
But at least...
And also Elena, she begins to think that maybe there's something more to Stefan.
Right. Elena's getting on the bandwagon. What can you do? And then we go to the most awkward dinner ever with Bonnie, Elena, and Stefan. And
this is why you can't have three people for
It's not the three people for the date. It's just Bonnie's just not wanting nothing to do with Stefan. And, you know, Elena's trying to inspire conversation, and she's not doing a very good job, and, you know. And then we go to Suck Up Stefan, which is, we see Suck Up Stefan to Bonnie a lot. And then Damon has to do that, too, which is absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're talking, Elena suggests to Bonnie, maybe you should tell Stefan about what your family's from. And she just looks at Elena and then goes to Stefan and goes, no, Mom, lives with my dad, which I thought was sad, you know. But we find out. Ooh, spoiler alert. Yeah. And then, you know, oh, they have a little shout out to the book here about how Celtic druids might have settled in Mystic Falls. But that's from the book, because apparently Bonnie, who is completely different from TV Bonnie, her ancestry is Celtic druids instead of Salem witches. But I like Salem witches plot better. And then the Salvatore brothers, spoiler alert again, if you're going to read L.J. Smith, you don't have to. She is not my favorite author, so sorry, L.J. Smith. And the Salvatore brothers are not Civil War, you know, survivors. They're Italian Renaissance individuals, which is, you know, interesting in itself. But all right. Anyways, after that tidbit, so then Stefan goes into his little speech about how Salem witches are heroic examples of individualism and nonconformity. Which, okay,
that's really laying it on.
Oh my god, that was so lame. I was like, oh, that, you know, whoever thought about that was brilliant. But on the other hand, oh my goodness. And yeah, and then so then the little dinner party is interrupted by Caroline showing up with Damon, and this is great. And we were talking earlier about what merits an invite. Because like Stefan's trying to convince Elena not to invite him in because Damon can't stay, which okay, haha. And you know, I was trying to say yeah, she cut it because Caroline walks in the house without, you know, actually getting invited and says come on in, and that doesn't work obviously because Caroline doesn't live there. And then Elena's like says yeah, it's fine, and that should merit an invite. But apparently,
well, I didn't think it was enough.
I don't think you have to say come on in. I think. Well, again, I digress. This is Buffy and Angel versus Vampire Diaries versus True Blood of what an invite is. So, and Edward, you know, in Twilight, Edward doesn't even need a formal invitation, so.
Although I don't really think he's much of a vampire. You cannot sparkle if you are a vampire. That makes you a fairy.
There's a little thing on Facebook about Twilight, there's a little sign that says Twilight and then True Blood underneath and Twilight's crossed out, and it says the only thing that sparkles is Lafayette, which I thought was really cute in True Blood. Oh. Which I thought was funny. Anyways, so Damon merits an invite, and then, you know, he's getting creepy. They do try to really say that Damon's a villain in this.
Yeah, Ashley in this part of the season. In the first season, Damon really was the villain.
They try that arc, and then, like, maybe they realize too many people just love Damon and then just stop it.
Well, he makes a really big transformation. Yeah, he does. Season.
Well, but even in this season, he makes a big transition.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Anyways, we'll get to those good episodes soon, hopefully. And, you know, Caroline's rambling, and Bonnie's a fifth wheel now, which is sad for Bonnie. And then, you know, Caroline's telling Elena, you really have to engage, which I thought, you know, ooh. And Caroline's being bitchy about Elena missing summer camp. Hello. And then she has this great line. Oh, it's just because her parents died. She's totally going through a blah phase. She used to be way more fun. What's a blah phase? Oh, my gosh.
That's one way of putting it, after your parents.
Yeah, okay. I'd probably be in a blah phase, too. I was sad after my doggy died, none of my parents, so. Yeah.
And then she says, like, in perfect sincerity or something.
Yeah.
Sensitivity. That's what it was.
Whatever her name is.
You can't take it back.
Candace Accolata or whatever she's a really good actress. I like her. But it was so funny. And then, you know, Damon's being trying to force hint about, oh, we've watched every single person we loved and cared about die, which is sad. And then, I didn't mean to bring her up, which we all know he's relating to Catherine. And we still don't know very much about Catherine yet, which is, you know, curiosity.
After Damon says that, now Elena realizes that...
Who he's talking about.
That Stefan's ex, Catherine, is dead. I put that in quotation marks, dead.
Physically, spoiler! And then we go to Mystic Grill, and this scene's so stupid. This is just Tyler's groping Vicky, and Jeremy's, you know, being all emo, and Matt tries to comfort him, and we realize Matt and Jeremy have a nice little bond going on, you know.
Yeah. Which is understandable, considering Matt used to date Elena.
Yeah, but even despite Elena and Matt breaking up, Matt's still there for Jeremy, which is kind of, you know, that's sweet. And then, you know...
Yeah, so Matt says to Jeremy about Vicky, she's my sister and I love her, but sometimes she can really make you work for it.
Which, this line's gross.
No, and then Jeremy responds, I find it pretty easy. He's saying that it's easy to love her.
I don't know how, because Jeremy is, Vicky is not a lovable character. I don't know what the hell he's thinking, but okay, whatever.
I thought it was a bit romantic. He likes her.
I do not like Vicky. She dies soon. Spoiler alert, sorry. And, thank God. Anyways, so Matt and Jeremy are bonding, and then Tyler's being an ass, and they almost fight, and, you know, Matt breaks it up and pushes Tyler, and Vicky's just standing there in her little waitress outfit, and Matt goes, what are you doing, Vic? Which, you know, all right, come on, Matt, good for you.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And we find out for sure that Vicky is the older sister. And then they don't do a very good job of explaining ages. So I was trying to figure out, is Tyler a senior? And Matt and him are just buds? Or is Tyler a junior too? Because we don't know. But Tyler just misses school randomly in the later seasons. Understandable reasons.
Yes,
but,
I understand.
But, you know, but okay. Apparently nobody in Mystic Falls needs a high school education. So, alright. Cool. And then we go to Elena and Damon bonding. I like this scene. And then, you know, he drops a glass and catches it. And, you know, he's helping her put dishes away, and, you know, he basically, Damon just point blank says, I like you, which is, yay!
Aw.
And it's rather sweet, actually. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we realized that, you know, Damon really, really likes her, which is nice. And then, Elena calls Damon out on it. Which one of you dated her first? You know, regarding to Catherine.
Oh, but before that, Elena asks Damon what happened to Catherine, and he says that she died tragically in a fire. She asks if it happened recently, and then Seems like yesterday. And after that, yeah.
Which one of you dated her first? And then, you know...
Oh, but also before that,
No.
Yeah, but he also talks about how they're alike.
Well, right, and then Elena gets curious, because, you know, Stefan likes to play it off, and so, and you know, Elena realizes Damon's going to be honest with her, which is actually really nice. The honesty between Damon and Elena is something Stefan doesn't catch on to.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, he is more honest.
He is much more honest and very upfront with her.
Yeah,
and I actually really
And it's
like
also
that.
Humorous because he talks about how Elena and Catherine are very much alike.
Yeah. She was beautiful, very much like you and her in that department, and was complicated and selfish. I think they called her a bitch, but I can't remember. He rags on her, but very sexy and seductive in that way. So you kind of realize, you know, Damon's hurting, and you really... Like, later in this episode, you really realize, you know, they're hurting. Mm-hmm. And then, which one of you dated her first? And he goes, nicely deduced, because Elena's a Sherlockian, apparently.
Yeah.
And, you know. And then Damon does something really sweet for Elena. He tells her to quit cheerleading. Because Ian Somerhalder is so great delivery. He's like, you look miserable. You know, I thought that was cute. And, you know, this is, again, foreshadowing. We realize Damon really understands Elena.
Yeah, he's good for her.
Season 3, that episode's just going to be a huge rant. So I apologize in advance.
It may not seem like it right now that he's so good for her, but in later seasons.
Damon understands Elena.
Yeah.
Something, and it's something that Stefan really doesn't you know, you don't see that between Stefan and Elena. You see that between Damon and Elena.
Yeah, Stefan gives her a lot of grief, actually, I think.
Yeah, and not, you know, he doesn't, he has an idea of Elena, and I think that idealization is something that's really prominent in Elena and Stefan. But Damon and Elena, Damon yeah. loves her for her, not, you
well,
know.
Elena likes Stefan for very silly reasons.
Silly, silly, silly. The season 3 finale, that'll probably be a year from now, the rate we're going.
I know.
But, oh my goodness. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. Anyways, so, you know, Elena basically opens up to Damon and says, you know, I thought things could matter again, you know, after my parents died, but, you know, everything's changed. And Damon, you know, basically says, seems unrealistic. And
yeah, and that she needs to move on, which is ironic considering that he's holding a 150-year-old grudge for his brother. So.
Well, but, okay, it's not for the reason we think. This is going to be a major spoiler alert, so if you haven't watched Vampire Diaries, don't stop listening. But if you have, we think that Damon has a grudge against Stefan. Because Stefan loved Catherine, but that's not it. Damon's pissed off because Stefan actually fired Damon. Stefan fired Damon, and that's, you know, again, major spoiler alert. But we think that the grudge is different, like, until we get to that big reveal. I'm not sure which episode that is, but that's a really good episode. I can't wait for that. But we gotta get through this episode. So, let's go. And then, you know, you kind of understand that this is a different show. This isn't just about, you know, vampires. This is different from Buffy and Angel and True Blood and Twilight. You know, this is actually about love and loss, which I really like. And then, Caroline is explaining the Matt and Elena saga to Stefan, which is cute. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, okay, and then Stefan transforms into this metrosexual because he really
like
likes,
girlfriend.
Yeah, he really loves Caroline's scarf. Like, you know, he's like, oh, can I see your scarf? Which guy asks her about her scarf?
I don't know.
I was trying to figure out, does Stefan know Damon's compelling her? Or does Stefan just trying to make Caroline realize it, or?
No, I think he just suspects at this point, but he wants her to take off the scarf so that he can see if Damon has bit her, in which case he would know that he's also compelling her.
Right, you know, and, you know, okay, and then we get to the big moral issue, because, you know, Damon asks Caroline to go and help the girls with the dishes, which is very 1950s. Damn you, Damon, and you're...
I thought it was funny. I mean,
yeah.
Caroline, she just says, does it look like I do dishes?
I don't like to do dishes either, Caroline, so I understand.
Very sassy. And then Damon says, oh, for me?
Caroline's like, no.
No.
Which is cute, you know.
Yeah, and then she looks back at him, and he compels her to go to the kitchen, so.
Right. And
so they can have their little chat.
And Stefan basically rams into Damon, not literally, but, you know, he rails into him and says, you know, they're not puppets, Damon. And this is where we get into the True Blood, you know, moral issue of, are people just, as Spike says from Buffy, happy meals on legs? or are they, you know, actual people? Should we respect them? And this is really prominent in this day and age, like, of all the different races and religions. You know. But, you know, we're not philosophers, so. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Damon threatens Stefan and says, you know, I'm invited in. I can come back tomorrow and do something with your little cheerleader to whatever I want, because that is what's normal for a vampire.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is back to the issue of Damon wants Stefan to embrace his nature kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have anything more in that scene?
No, I don't.
Okay. And then we cut to the, oh my, this is a very fast show. And Stefan and Elena are.
I wish too.
Stefan and Elena are talking, and Elena's telling him, you know, your brother's not that bad, and Stefan cuts her off.
This is funny, considering what we find out.
Well, and I always get fooled by this scene, because I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my god, what is going on?
Yeah, they are moving very fast.
Yeah, they're getting a little, together.
So, yeah, she says, she says to Stefan,
your brother's
not so bad. And then they kiss, things get very steamy, she takes off her shirt.
And then, you know, Stefan's taking off his shirt, and then it's not Stefan underneath the shirt, it's Damon looking
and then
very pretty.
She wakes up. It's all been a dream. And what's funny about this is that the camera pans out to the window and we see the crow, Damon's crow, which just, it really sort of implies that Damon has been orchestrating this whole dream, and he's been saying to her then, or making her say, oh, he's not so bad.
Right. But I, you know, I don't think that's him making her say something. I think that's really true.
You think so?
I do. I think that's her nature.
It would have been more funny.
Elena doesn't think, even when Damon is at his lowest point, Elena never thinks Damon's bad. No. Maybe it's because Jeremy's a pain in the ass.
But then again, later in this episode, I think she really doesn't like him so much.
Yeah. Liking and standing him are two different things, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, so then, you know, she wakes up in the morning and she's getting ready for school and she's looking at her cheerleading outfit and contemplating, like, what should I do? Am I this girl? Am I this new Elena? Can I go back to the old one? And you see her realizing she can never go back, which, you know, is kind of nice. Yeah. And then, you know, we go to our cheesy little montage of writing in the diary.
Silly little monologue talking about.
It's less this episode, so it's getting better. Come on.
I'd like it to go away.
Yeah,
entirely,
it goes away soon.
Yeah, so he's talking about Damon, that he must have a shred of humanity.
And then how do I make it see it?
Yeah.
How do I protect her? Yeah. And then you see Stefan reaching into a little cabinet and bringing out a box. Yes. And then he brings out the necklace. And then we learn something really significant. We learn about Vervain, which, you know, we don't learn a lot yet, but we learn a little more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Elena and Stefan, we cut to the school. And, you know, Elena complimenting Stefan and looking good in his jersey, which he does.
Yeah. There's a lot of flirting going on in this
episode. Wesley can pull off a jersey. And then,
I kind of thought early in this episode when I saw all those, high school boys practicing on football, they kind of looked so young, and their legs looked so small, so short.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's just the way the uniform is.
Maybe. And then Elena basically says, I quit. I'm a quitter. And then, you know, Stefan, you know, says, okay, that's okay. You're looking ahead and starting over. It's kind of sweet. And then he gets into the... this little cheesy, I hope you don't think it's too soon or too weird.
Oh, and then pulls out a box. Is she supposed to think at this point?
I know. Like, what? You think just like this delivery could have done so many ways. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh, this is so sad.
Maybe they're trying to make fun of Twilight subtly, but I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then he's had this necklace forever, which I thought was hilarious. He you know, likes to wear necklaces sometimes. I just thought, okay. And he's never wanted to give it to anybody, which, ooh. And then it smells like something. Elena wonders what it is, and he goes, oh, it's an herb, which we don't know what the name of the herb is. And then, yeah. And then he's like, oh, it's nice, right? And Elena's like, yeah. Like, she's going to disagree with him.
Yeah.
She's not going to tell her boyfriend, oh, I think it smells like shit. Like, okay. But all right.
No, but she naturally, she says it smells like roses.
Right.
What herb smells like roses?
Yeah.
Isn't vervain, isn't that a flower?
No.
It's not?
I didn't think
it really
was
an herb?
I thought it was an herb or a root. I didn't think
or
it was.
Or weed or something?
I don't know.
They
don't tell us much.
But supposedly it smells like roses.
Right. And then Stefan talks about we're a pair. I quit, you start. A work in progress. Aww.
So cheesy.
And then Caroline comes up and looks at Elena and glares at her and goes, you're not in uniform because, which I thought was cute. And then we go to this lame bonfire. Okay, who has, as Natalie pointed out.
Yeah, it's just like Greece.
Who has a bonfire now? But all right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tanner is this terrible motivational speaker. Oh, my goodness. And, you know.
He's not so bad. It just seems so out of character for him to be praising Stefan when, you know, he's.
Right. It's just like, yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. And then Tyler's getting pissed off because Tanner's praising Stefan and saying, it's so funny because Tanner has this, like, really terrible line of, it's been so long since we had a kid like this with hands like these. It's just, that's so wrong. That line is awful.
It sounds so dirty.
It does. It sounds so wrong. Anyways, so Tyler's getting all pissed off that Tanner's, you know, blowing sunshine up Stefan's butt. And, you know, Tyler storms away, and Tyler and Vicky, you know, Tyler's being a jerk, you know.
Absolutely.
He sees Jeremy boozing it up because there's no teachers walking around this bonfire. Yeah. Nobody then, busting him for alcohol.
Yeah. And then he says to Jeremy, don't look so glum. You can have her, Vicky, when I'm done.
Which, you know, Tyler's not very nice. But, oh. And then Jeremy and Tyler have this lame fight for the fourth time since this is the third episode. We've already had four fights. I should.
Yeah.
Because they have later fights. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so, you know, Stefan tries to break it up and, you know, be a nice guy. And Tyler hits him and it marvels that Stefan's abs are steel, which I thought was funny. And then, Jeremy grabs a beer bottle and tries to slam it into Tyler's head and Stefan interferes and Stefan gets a cut.
Yeah.
And Elena doesn't even care about Stefan's cut. She goes to her brother immediately, which, okay, understandable, but it's kind of sad. Poor Stefan, no peace.
But then again, she's known Stefan for what, a couple weeks now?
And then,
that's her brother.
And then Elena's
got pounded on by Tyler. So.
Elena's pissed off at Jeremy, you know? She's like, oh yeah, he's like, I'm fine. Oh yeah, you smell fine. And she's going to reel into him, and he's like, just don't. And, you know, you realize Elena's got it rough. You know, Jeremy's not a nice, very, very nice brother.
Yeah.
Jeez. And then, Elena goes to Stefan and's like, oh my god, your hand, how bad is it? And Stefan, tries to play it off because it already healed because he's a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, oh, but I saw it. It was there. And, you know, this is when Elena starts getting suspicious and getting worried. Yeah.
Yeah, she begins to suspect that there's something supernatural about him.
Right. And, yeah. And then, you know, Stefan makes a flimsy excuse about how it's almost kickoff. But, okay, in any football game, you know, I went to, every single football game home game at my high school. Who has a rally right before? You usually have a rally during the day, and then because they're eating and prepping and putting on their clothes or gear or whatever.
Okay, well, I wouldn't know this.
How many football games did you go to, Natalie?
Zero.
Oh, that's so sad. You didn't go to... That's sad. Okay.
Oh, I don't like football.
It's the environment. All right. All right. And then Elena's kind of freaked and kind of suspicious. So she comes up to Bonnie and asks about the bad mojo, which, you know, who makes that connection? That's Elena foreshadowing right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then what was like it? And then Bonnie comes up with this kind of, you know, it's cheesy, but it's not so cheesy, you know. It's what death, I would imagine death felt like. It's not clear like a picture. It's a feeling. And it vibrated through me, and it was cold, and it was death. And this is major, major, major foreshadowing, which, you know, I really like, because Bonnie, spoiler alert, you know, causes death. A lot of death, actually.
Yeah.
And ooh. But yeah,
she goes to a dark place.
Very,
season.
Very dark place, and I can't wait for fourth season because you know.
I know. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, and you know, I think. Yeah, I can kind of see. I don't know if I don't look at message boards or anything, but I could kind of see the only reservation I would have would be if Bonnie did a Willow thing, you know, Dark Willow, which you know. Excellent, Joss Whedon season 6, Buffy.
I kind of imagined that would happen.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great path. You know, there's so much stuff you can go with it. Sorry, that's my dog. And there's so many directions you can go with it, which would be great. But
uh-oh.
Yeah. Anyways, and so, yeah, so the direction that Bonnie's going to go is going to be actually really fun. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sorry, my dog, Penny wanted to be in the podcast too. Natalie's making fun of me because my dogs bark. Sorry, dogs bark. It happens. And so, you know, Elena.
Now we come to my favorite scene in this episode.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so finally, you see Elena going to her car to supposedly get a jacket because, okay.
Oh, I was wondering what she was doing. It's like, why is she at her trunk?
Yeah, okay, but her outfit, it looks like she's clubbing. She has these really tall boots and, you know, it's a cute outfit, but okay. Mm-hmm. All right, whatever, sure. And so, basically, Damon and Elena talk, and Damon explains to Elena that he's hiding from Caroline, which, okay, that's funny. And then Elena tells him that can be a sign, and then okay, I wrote, I see them. So does Damon say, I see them, the signs?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay.
But he does say that she talks more than he can listen.
And, yeah, and that I can't listen to her forever. She drives me crazy. Which is, hello, foreshadowing. Major, major, major foreshadowing.
Very funny.
Very, very, very funny. I thought that was hilarious, too. So, yeah. Yay for Caroline.
And then I think Elena says that she, or no, he says that he doesn't want to make her uncomfortable.
Which, okay, no. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. And she calls him on it. She says, yes, he is trying to make her uncomfortable. And that if that wasn't his intention, then he wouldn't have an alternate meaning for everything he says, which is so spot on.
Definitely spot on.
Which, she totally gets him.
Right. She understands him, which is, again, another reason why, you know, Damon and Elena work.
Yeah,
and
they have a connection.
Yeah, and Stefan goes, you want me. I bet you've even dreamed of me. And you think, and yeah. Okay, and then you realize Damon's trying to compel Elena to, you know, do something not appropriate with her. And you, Elena Dobrev does great in this one. Elena, you see Elena trying to, you know, looks like she's going to be compelled. And she isn't. She smacks the shit out of Damon.
I love that.
Which is funny. And Damon's caught off guard. He's like,
he looks so surprised.
And Elena delivers this line of, I'm not Catherine, and walks away. And that's a theme that resonates in 2.5 seasons. That's true. Elena is not Catherine. And that's important to remember. If you haven't ever watched a single episode of Vampire Diaries, which you should. You should. And, and this is great that this is establishing that so soon. And then we go to the locker room, and Matt and Stefan are talking about, you know, Jeremy, and, you know, Matt apologizes for being jerk, you know.
To Stefan. Sorry.
And, you know, and you really realize in this that Matt still holds a candle for Elena. He really loves her.
Yes.
He and like that again, that's another thing that goes for 3 seasons.
But he's also the better man because he's willing to become friends with Stefan, even though he's sort of replacing him in everyone's life. He's joined the football team, he's taken Elena as his girlfriend.
But you can kinda see it as Matt just doesn't want to be cut off from Elena. So he has a choice. He can either say, I'm not going to be friends with Stefan.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think he's very petty.
He's not that devious, I don't think, but I don't know. Matt's okay. Matt's my blah character. I like him. I think he's cute. I like the actor, but eh. Anyways, so then, like, you really realize Matt loves Elena, and he'll do anything for her, which is nice. And, you know,
as you will soon find out
in
season 3.
And major. And technically, Matt causes the whole course of Elena's life to change, which is sad. But all right. And, you know, then Matt goes away and tries to get ready for the game. And Damon and Stefan have a confrontation. And Damon has this wonderful line of rah, rah, go team. And then nice trick with Elena. And then we hear about, let me guess, Vervain and the necklace. And we find out for the first time that,
the first indication that this Vervain has some ability to...
There's something that can, turn away vampires.
Yeah, to prevent the compulsion.
And you know, we learn more about Vervain later. But, you know, this is important. And then, Damon says he's going to seduce her the old-fashioned way.
Or eat her.
Which is hilarious. And then Stefan goes, you're not going to hurt her. There's a part of you that feels for her. I've worried that you are the monster that you pretend to be. And then Damon goes, I'm tempted, which is hilarious. And he goes, no, you're not. You're still haunting me. After 145 years, this is the first time we get dates, by the way, so yay. We finally get, Catherine is dead, and you hate me because you loved her, and you torture me because you still do. And that, my brother, that is humanity. And that's a really good, Stefan's insightful. I don't remember Stefan being as insightful later, but I really like that. And then, Damon gets pissed off and says, if that's my humanity, why can't I do this? Because Coach Tanner walks out and tries to get Stefan, and Damon kills Tanner. And, you know, I'm terrible if I say this, but I really cannot stand the character, so I'm not that sad. So thanks, Damon, for doing me a favor, I guess. But it is sad, you know. You kill a human, that's sad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Stefan's all... Oh, and then Damon keeps going and goes anytime, anyone, any place. And Damon isn't afraid to be himself, which is Again?
Be himself, be like yourself. Killing people.
Be that's, a vampire.
That's being himself, killing people.
Damon wants Stefan to embrace his nature of being a vampire. And yes, the moral line is the killing people, but, you know, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Then we go to the locker rooms, and Matt, you know, is pissed at Tyler. And then, again, this next quote really resonates again, that Matt still really loves Elena and, you know, beating up the new guy, screwing with my sister, and bullying my girlfriend's kid brother. And Tyler basically says, she's not your girlfriend anymore, which is true. And that, you know, they have a stupid little fight, and Tyler storms out, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he finds the body of Mr. Tanner.
And then Max walks out and sees Tanner dead, and poor Matt. And then, okay, so then you cut, and all the cops are there. Okay, really? So they bring out animal control?
Yeah, well...
Really?
I saw nothing wrong with this, but Ashley did.
So silly. Okay, if you see the animal, you get animal control. The cops are the first one to respond.
But no, come on. I mean...
No.
So they found the dead body of a teacher who's got a huge bite wound on his neck.
Matt walking out, the bite wound's on the right.
I'm sure they turned him over to see if he was still alive.
The cops are still staying there. Matt's not saying bring animal control. Animal control is not the first. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure the police called animal control.
Yes, I mean, only if they see the little animal.
The little animal. Uh-oh. I'm sure they thought it was like a wolf or something. In which case you'd want animal control.
Doesn't sit there looking for animal droppings. Animal control's there to control the animal.
Whatever.
Oh my goodness. That was. I just thought that was hilarious. So, okay.
Okay.
And then, poor Matt. He's kind of sad that Tanner's dead. And Bonnie, we go to Bonnie, and Bonnie's freaking. And you see that the numbers 8, 14, and 22 are really there.
Yeah, they're at the scene.
Mm-hmm. They're at the scene of the crime, and Bonnie's crying, and you're like, oh, Bonnie's sad about her teacher.
No, that's what Ashley thinks. I disagree. I think she's just very upset that she finally realizes that, yes, she is clairvoyant.
So you see that Bonnie sees Building 8, and then you see a license plate of a car that says FHT 14 Virginia.
Yeah, because before she sees those numbers, she's not that upset about his death.
And then the number 22 parking space. And that was good on the writer's part, you know.
Yeah.
And then she's really freaking. She's like, oh my god, what does this mean? And we still haven't met her grandmother yet, which I can't wait until we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Matt's depressed, Tyler's pissed, and then Jeremy and Vicky have this little makeup scene, which Natalie I did not like this scene.
I didn't like it either.
Oh, okay. No. And then
it was just so silly. So Jeremy is sitting on the ground with looking all pensive and sad. And then Vicky walks by and she just says, it wasn't just for the drugs, and walks away.
And then I said, how romantic. Oh, good lord.
Oh.
And then you see Jeremy be really happy, because, you know, this kid's emo. It's all right. And then we go to Elena and Stefan, and Stefan's trying to comfort her, and Elena's really freaked out. Like, why does this keep happening? Why does everyone die? And, you know, again, this is where it kind of goes into the Buffy world. Like, everyone dies, you know. And then Stefan comforts her and says, I'm fine, we're fine, and that's what matters. And they're hugging. Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And then Elena has this look on her face, like she's unsure what to think of him now.
Yeah, and, you know, that'll carry on to the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stefan has his little lame writing montage, and he thought there was hope, and that deep down inside, Damon was still human, normal. And then I kind of stopped and said, what is normal, Stefan? For vampire.
Yeah.
And then he's only a monster, and that he can feel no love or something like that.
Yeah, no good, no kindness, no love.
But that's not true, because the last scene we see, which is, I think it's lovely, but Natalie thought it was creepy, was...
It's a little stalkery.
Yeah, Damon is standing over Elena's bed, and he's stroking her cheek because she had fallen asleep. I was analyzing the scene. Elena's writing in her diary. Sorry, my dog again. Penny again wanted to hear because she had strong feelings about the Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena, you see Elena had fallen asleep with her diary. She's writing in her diary. And Damon is, like, you know, stroking her cheek. And you realize Damon can feel love. He's a very powerful being that can... I said, Damon has one of the most volatile of emotions. And again, this is kind of back to the Angel versus Spike and Damon versus Stefan thing, you know. I think that...
It makes me think of Edward Cullen.
I think Stefan's really Edward Cullen.
Yes, he is more. But still, that he's just watching her sleep.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, I... All right.
It's sweet in a way, but stalkery.
And that's the end of the episode. Our longest one yet. It's just... Yeah. So, yeah. This was not my favorite episode. Natalie, how many crows would you give this episode?
I would give it 4 crows.
Because jeez.
I liked it.
I would give it like 3.25. Mm-hmm. Well, not my favorite. But this next episode, it gets really, really good.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else to say about this one?
No. I don't think so.
All right. Well, if you want to give us some feedback, which we really appreciate, you can email us at vampirediariesradio@gmail.com. And our episode's going to be delayed because Natalie has finals, so yay. And for 2 weeks' time, the next episode will be Family Ties. So if you pick up the DVD that's on sale right now at Target and want to watch all of season one, you'll be all caught up, and we'll be doing Family Ties, which is written by Andrew Kriegsberg and Brian Young and directed by Guy Ferland. Yeah, don't know who those guys are. And then, little tidbit, our Friday Night Bites, the current episode, was written by Barbie Kligman and Brian Holdman and directed by John Dahl. And we haven't really decided what to do with our website. Yeah, so if you have any suggestions, again, email us and we'll definitely email you back. Any suggestions or comments or hate mail, we'll try to email you back.
Hopefully no hate mail.
Hopefully no hate mail. That'd be sad. All right. Again, thanks for tolerating my doggies.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.